In 1920, a grand building was designed by artist and architect Vladimir Tatlin. Iron, glass, and steel for a colossal tower meant to help Lenin's Marxist propaganda, a real technological hub for the political avant-garde. In 1964, American artist Dane Flavin initiated a series of 39 monuments to Tatlin. Minimalist sets of prefabricated fluorescence tubes resembling the ambitious utopian shapes of the Russian constructivists. November 2015. In San Gimignano, at the Galleria Continua, Brazilian artist Marcelo Sidagi closes the loop of an appropriational short circuit, presenting a new series of sculptures made from off-the-grid fluorescence light fittings, recovered structures of abandoned buildings in São Paulo. No more light, no more enlightenment, just ruins. Of Dan Flavin's homage to Tatlin, what remains? It's a critical reflection on modernist utopian failures and on monument anachronism.
My name is Marcelo Sidagi. I am an artist from São Paulo. I was, since 50 years ago, investigating some relation with architecture and how to live in architecture, how to live together in architecture, based in the relations of South America city like São Paulo, and living like the failure of utopian modernism, try to rethink these ideas of convenience living. And I'm interested in some questions about that. So when I talk modernism, I talk about a late modernism in relation of architecture, like a plan of progressive changes during the 50s in Brazil, with almost a populist idea of progress, totally related with the starting point of a dictatorial times in my country, and remaining this new changing of life in the most democratic way, cleaning shapes and using architecture for a better life. But 30 years after these constructions, like Brasilia and some buildings in São Paulo, we seen that this first idea of changing happened, but not for so well. What happened now is the intention to make a distinction and a code, much more almost like a fascist situation, to think the architecture related for a specific human being. And this we can saw now that it's impossible to you had only one kind of person and one kind of measurement. And so I think this failure is like in relation of that. When Le Corbusier, when Oscar Niemeyer and the other architects try to translate these shapes and these social conditions from a different and a tropical country, this for sure make a lot of difference in the aspect of rationalism. But in some projects they work very well when Burle Marx mix and use the nature, the tropical nature, and bring together the idea of curves like Niemeyer. In that case, that work well. But what I mean that they don't work well is much more in relation to the society, with this aspect, like the architecture can be for everybody. In this aspect, they totally be misunderstanding and they create a rupture in the society.
Among the epic fails of Brazilian modernist architects, there are just a few virtuous examples of consistent projects very much concerned about the relation between architecture and social life, like Flavio de Carvalho and Lina Bobardis.
Lina was a different aspect of modernism. First of them, because she was thinking much more in the social cases and bringing elements of a popular culture for the architecture. She created almost like an invisible architecture to thinking the a modern concept, much more than a modern form and shape. And we had Flavio de Carvalho too, who is an architect and an artist. Amazing art we can be together with the modernism, it's late modernism in Brazil. We had the first modernist house in São Paulo made by Wachowski, who is another modernist architect. But in this first experiment of a modernist architect like Flavio de Carvalho and Wachowski, there was created private houses. So this experiment was very private. And Lina, she opened for the doing Sesc Pompeia. She did Casa de Vidro and the Museum of Art of São Paulo. It's a totally open aspect of architecture, like using elements like glass and the raw material of cement without painting, without plaster.
The Museo de Arte de São Paulo, considered to be one of the landmarks of the city, is a concrete and glass structure designed in 1968. Its main body is supported by four pillars connected by two huge concrete beams standing 8 meters above the floor.
The real intention of this free space behind the museum is because in the late 30s, that place of the museum was a kind of a place to you watch the city like a mirante. Like it was a place to you observe the city, and the only condition that the mayor gave to her is to don't close that view. And she created the elevation of the museum, and this created totally disruptive elements and create a protected public space, like a van. But after the museum was created, São Paulo has a kind of decadent situation in the 80s and the 90s. And that space was used for totally like a free space, but totally in the subversive way, like a hookers been there, crackheads been there, and a lot of times the police want to close this because it's not secure, it's not safe. This, the idea of safe and security is part of São Paulo, Paulista culture. And no one can close. This was fantastic because it's a condition of her architecture to don't close. And this space is fantastic, and the museum was turned had a turning point this year, and she created these hangers with glasses to put the modern painting almost 8 years ago they was taken off, and the old director put the white walls to separate the aspect of architecture inside the museum, and now Adriano Pedrosa come again with the glasses, and you see the art pieces almost fluctuate, and you'll be part of the art piece. Like to think an iteration and an installation aspect of participating art 15 years ago, I think is something very important and very political, that you'll be inside the art piece, inside the attitude. For me, it's beautiful. That she had a mind very far, far away of her time. And in that time, I don't think that the people understand too much what she proposed. And because that she was almost, not disappear, but she was a woman. She was almost an anarchist in this machist world of modernism. For sure, Oscar Niemeyer appeared, create a relation of the body, okay, saying, okay, I use the curves because I love the curve of the woman, in totally different machist aspects. And this bothered me a lot. I remember the first time I was in Brasilia, I've been there with a group of architects and say, oh, everybody's fantastic. You can see all the city for all points. And I was thinking that that was a little bit bizarre, and because they create an attitude of control when the militaries can control the population, and you don't have corners, you had only curves. And this was easy because if the military had some strike or some manifestation of the population, the military come uncontrolled. And I had another very bizarre situation that in front of the Congress Palace. In the beginning, if you saw some images, it's just green vegetation until the architecture. In the 70s, they implement a kind of water mirror, a big water mirror, and these water mirrors were created to slowly the manifestation, the people, for the sniper shooting. And so the modernism in Brazil is kind of subversive, the idea of control. And when I be failure, it's because we expected some utopia changing, and the utopia changing was not changing, and just controlling the people.
This conversation about Brazilian modernism leads us at the core of Cidades Tatan and Monuments, a new series of works in which it reflects upon the 20th century utopian fiascos through the means of reappropriation.
I use appropriation, reappropriation, it's very interesting, this small and big movement of displacement elements. Materials. Oh, I had some old works related with artists like Lina Bobardi, like Ligia Clark, and all the time I was very open to put my reference in the first plane, but not only like homage, but in the critical homage, like we can say, to create not a disruption, but to break some myths about the 70s and to rethinking some problems and some questions of that time. In this case of Dan Flavin, he created these monuments like a homage of Tatlin to rethink these utopia elements of constructing something that remain not only in the aesthetical way. But in this contradictory American art, sometimes I think minimalism is not minimal, and for me minimalism is kind of almost like an homage of a industrial prospect, like a use in industrial elements in a different way. This influence of American culture and how popular they are with the minimum of the shapes, and how he can constructed, reconstructed by using the same light. This is the same light bulb, and this can be in a different forms. This for me is very interesting. For me, this idea of influencing other cultures is very not dramatic, but it's like bizarre, because we had in Brazil during the dictatory days a big influence of American CIA, torture, and everything. It's not only in the cultural way. And had another history, I don't be too close of reference, but had a history of the MASP, the Museum of Lina Bobardi, was financed by the Americans to receive the first neo-expressionist exhibition who was turning out the world, and they needed a place to be in São Paulo. They don't have a safe place. So the CIA and the Ministry of Culture of America provide money, and they construct the MASP. And this is a kind of gossip, and I want to not to question it, but to put again in a discussion of this idea of influences. But in the same way, I love the culture, had a lot of big points of view that I want to question, and use the shape of a big famous American artist is to subvert a little bit this idea of enlightenment that Dan Flavin used. So I was thinking that imagine a museum without light. When the bulbs finish, what has to us is only the cages, this metal cage hold the bulbs that we call in Portuguese calhas elétricas. And these calhas elétricas that we had here are appropriated from old factories and old industrial sites that was totally in ruins. And I am interested to bring this memory of this element that was thrown away again in the very fancy shape of Dan Flavin. And for me, it's interesting to be critical and to be political without to be pamphletarism, and to try using forms to subvert this idea. to use the shape of Dunflavin without light, without Dunflavin. And this is a big responsibility to me, but otherwise it's almost like a stupid movement, a very click and in the subversive way. I'm very interested in these small clicks of turn off and turn on. In my research, I started, 15 years ago, like a graffiti writer. So I've been like surfing in the urbanism and the architecture with a different eye to looking for places to put my graffiti to. Normally, these places was like train sites, abandoned places, and skateboard people. It's a different, it's a part of urbanism that people don't want to be. And I believe like this destruction creates a new constriction, like in the entropy situation of changement. But in the art school, I was very interested to do something, but I was not too much healthy in the monetary way to buy oil painting, to buy canvas, And I was, okay, I go to the streets because I'm very comfortable in the streets because I know very well how to lead with that. And with this looking, I was starting to study Elliot Sica and Ligia Clark, and immediately I met Gordo Mata Clark, who is very similar of Elliot Sica in the way, because he had this idea of transformation of the body in relation of the space. I say, wow, it's a Gordo Mata Clark is Elliot Sica from São Paulo. It's not from here, it's not Tropicália, it's not only the body, the colors. And I saw a new door open of possibilities. And thinking about architecture and anarchitecture, I was rethinking that if you don't have the materials to construct, the architect can construct. And so how the most democratic element that I found, cement. Cement and bricks that was thrown away in the streets, but we find everywhere. My first work with bricks is from 2002. It's a piece called Monoblocos, that I catch these bricks, very concrete bricks, and put wheels with the intention to break this vertical implement of construction and give it a horizontal situation in the anarchy that it's not a hermetic and idea of power that you construct something in the vertical until the sky. No, I want to disrupt this without broken. And the cement comes in the same situation, like it's a magnificent material that you add water and you put things together. So, wow, this is amazing, this is so cheap, and how let's use this in the way. And one of the first works that I reminded to use cement was in the art school. In the art school, I carry a backpack. So my studio was inside a backpack. I live far away of the art school. I had two buses to go. So this perimeter of city was talking in the traffic, observing everything. I say, wow, this is my studio inside a bus with the backpack. And one of the back to the work was the first work that I fill my backpack with cement and take out the backpack, like take the heaviest from my body and create this element. And this was too much formal, and I want to spread the idea of cement like powder to spread all the way. All the work that I did was in the same movement that I filled the cement in my backpack, but in the powder way, and cut my backpack and inside the museum, doing a line polluted, and created this disruption. And past sometimes I was rethinking my subversive acts because I was not a young art student anymore. I was inside the gallery, I participated in Biennials, and start to be a little bit annoying with this. Okay, I was the bad boy of art, but I was 25, almost 30. I say, okay, I need to change it, my way of broken patterns. And that way, I do urban intervention, but in the urban sites now it's too easy. And how I is a site that was not with the White Cube, the institutions. And after this, I think, okay, I still intervention, but not outside, now it's inside. And how is the next point to intervention? Art history. And okay, let's see and review Brazilian art history since the 50s. And I start to discover the concrete poetry. A lot of cases of Brazilian art that are Flávio de Carvalho. And okay, I try to reuse and reuse these elements in the constructive way, like cement. And I think that I was constructing too much, and I start to see that too much things was constructed already, and the bricks start to be the new oil, the new painting idea. A lot of young artists use me like reference, using bricks, but in a different way. They want to construct image with bricks, like using like in the formal situation. And the city, this aspect of the city that I surfed, I was back to the old industrial sites to remain the memory of the city. Because if you think São Paulo and Brazil, in the last 50 years, we had a big change with Lula government, now Dilma government, the Brazil have the push, the blow. But in the same time, we had a crisis again. So this aspect of changing don't change it too much. So we had almost the same prospect like 50 years ago when Juscelino Kubitschek come with the plan that we're gonna change it 50 years in five. That was a plan, a utopist plan, together with the construction of Brasilia. I think, okay, we are doing the same. So we need to talk about this, to don't do this the same. But in the end, we did the same. We had the price of dollars in the euros like this, a lot of cases of corruption, a lot of the power is falling down. And I am interested in things that falling down. So I start to reappropriate things that was thrown away to re-implement the idea of value and to broke the economy, some economy patterns of art system. And for me, it's interesting not only appropriated, but to appropriate it, dislocate it, and create a new shape.
That's what happens with another material he uses, and the traces align between him and Josef Beuys, the felt.
I was a big fan of Josef Beuys concepts for a long, long time. And one day I was walking downtown and I see a crackhead walking with the pipe of crack without shoes and with a felt like this and a dog. I say, fuck, it's Josef Beuys. And I start to create my mind. I say, okay, Josef Beuys living in downtown São Paulo smoking crack. And since after this click in my mind, this crazy idea of Josef Beuys living in São Paulo, I start to look that this felt is the most common thing that we found in the streets of São Paulo, because the people use this felt to donation, to give to poor people who live in the streets, and everybody who live in the streets use this. Again, in the it's a democratic, anti-democratic or democratic material that it was using, and it was the poor material, because in São Paulo, it's not felt. It's similar than felt, but it's a material. It's composed with different parts of textile who was thrown away from industrial production. They print it and give them to poor people. And the first reason that I use is to relate it with this social problem in São Paulo, but in the same time to have this historic point of view of Josef Beuys. So it is a reference too. And in that case of this work here, I was interested in the idea of construction and destruction of a site using something that was using for protection. And this protection is understanding the different situation of this element. This element is used in the art fair and museums to hold pieces, to do emballage in painters and doing transport. And the protection of the body and the protection of the heater of Josef Beuys, like a lie, they survive in São Paulo, like a very true situation. And these are elements that I still work on. And I had some, this year I did a lot of pieces of them. It's called Geometria. I forget the name, just because I was thinking how to use this element to relate of the body, this forgotten body of this case of body, the poor people who live in São Paulo, in the way that I don't be pamphletary to use misery to prospect. That was a cue that was very annoying. To okay, how I talk about this situation without taking advantage of that situation.
RadioPapesse.org